free to become. And of course, the follow-up question would be, to become what? And I'm saying to you, that's what you have to answer. I'm going to talk to you about the freedom part, and you get to walk out a journey as to figure out what that freedom is in your life for. Experience the spirit freedom that God has given us. The Holy Spirit's work within us. It is a freedom through Christ. It is a freedom that's implemented by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 1. It begins by saying, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. This whole exhortation is about the law. It's about the Jewish people. It's about the Jewish culture. It's about God setting a people aside, about having a sign upon their physical bodies that shows that sanctifying work being set apart. That's what this language is about. Just briefly, I'll tell you. The cross and the work of Christ, he has offered a freedom from that law because Christ fulfilled the law. And what's happening is they are trying the Mosaic, I just locked up on my thought there. It was the Judaizers, that's what I'm saying, that were trying to, they were trying to reinstitute on those who had been set free by the cross. They were trying to instill in them the burden of that law again. So that's the conversation that Paul is having with them. So in verse 3 he says, "Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, but by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness from which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." I want you to hang on to that. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who called you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Paul's just a little worked up on this subject, I would say. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Here it comes again, the same thing I told you to focus on. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm talking to you a little bit about this idea of a freedom that can come to our lives and our hearts based on the the grace and the work of the cross. I realize that we're not dealing from the culture of Jewish people. And so we have not come from practice of the law. But I'm telling you that there still is a spirit that creeps into our lives that moves us away from the work of the cross of grace. And what it does is, even in the church, it brings us to a place of bondage. And what the Lord wants from our lives is for us to start walking in a level of freedom that He has offered to us. My heart for this body is to see us walk in that freedom that God has offered to us. In so many ways, we still allow our lives to walk in a level of bondage. On New Year's Day, 1863, there was a proclamation that was issued, and it declared that all slaves in the Confederacy were now going to be free. It's known as the Emancipation Proclamation, that you're very familiar with, most of you, I hope. It probably isn't even taught in the public schools anymore. I don't know. It's been a while since I've been there. But at least we can capture the spirit of something that God did in our nation all those years ago. The 13th Amendment, it actually was December 18th of 1865 that the slaves were formally set free in America. What an amazing moment spiritually that had to be, because many of them crying out to God for deliverance of the plight that this nation had put upon them. As I thought about that moment, not knowing anything truly what it's like to be in that condition, and nor am I making any effort to imply that I know what these people went through, and being forced into slavery is one thing. And in just yesterday, I had seen this image of the Holocaust again, and I've seen these images of people being led like cattle through these fence barbed wire stanchions and families being separated. And I just said, God, I just can't imagine what that level of forced bondage would look like. I don't know what it would look like, but to be able to experience a freedom after being led into that level of bondage must have been absolutely euphoric. At least you would think so. You would think that anybody who had been declared free, that their lives would just be explosive in terms of what that freedom felt like. But did you know that many did not actually experience that freedom? Even though the declaration was given, there's many who didn't walk in the freedom that was declared. And I know that some of you who are thinkers, you're already ahead because you know the way I think and you know where I'm going with this and how much it relates. And God forgive us, but in terms of, like I said, I'm not trying to bring a direct application to what I've gone through in life to what these folks have gone through in life. I'm just trying to lay a type out before you and say, this is what can happen. The greater tragedy, I think, is that you've got a situation of people who were forced into bondage and then given freedom back to them. What is greater tragedy, in my opinion, is when it is willful bondage. And that's what it became in some applications. Some people stayed slaves because they preferred the security of slavery more than the risk of freedom. You can't be serious, Pastor Dan, that somebody would prefer, doesn't that sound contradictive, the security of slavery? But I'm telling you, it's not. I see it in lives all the time. I see people in the church all the time that are so secure in their bondage. So secure in their slavery because that's all they know. That's all they've experienced. Because there is a risk to freedom. There is a responsibility to freedom. There is an action to freedom. There is a faith in freedom. And there's a lot of people that are not willing to go there. And many of them, it's because they find themselves too secure in their slavery. Others remain slaves just in their minds. Although their bodies came off the plantations, their minds could never take them beyond the bondage that they experienced. It went with them. They were free in body, free to do whatever they saw fit or worked for, but up in their head, they had lived so long as a slave that even in their freedom, they walked in a level of bondage. You know, sadly enough, there were others that remained in slavery just because they had never even heard that freedom was available. Doesn't that sound tragic? You guys can see all the types. I mean, you can preach the sermon for me now. I mean, although I'm tempted to go through each one of these and show you exactly how that looks in the church, you can do that quickly. You can do that quickly. Let me just read back through them real quick. I said some stay slaves because they prefer security of slavery to the risk of freedom. In the church today, you know what that can look like. There are many who stay in bondage in mind, in heart, in purpose, and spirit because they have only ever known the practice of sin and what it looks like. They're secure in that. And to risk a freedom in faith in Christ is too much for them. Others remain enslaved simply because their minds are still in bondage. You see that? I probably personally have experienced every one of these things myself. I would think, but I don't want to be presumptuous. I would think that all of us probably have at some level or some degree. And it's part of the journey of sanctification, by the way. God brings this powerful grace that comes to us as we accept the Lord as our Savior. And then He still does this progressive work of straightening us up and cleaning us up. And take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What's He telling you? Get out of the slave mentality. You see what I'm talking about here? But the other part of it is the tragedy in the church is that perhaps there are some who have never even heard about the freedom that is found in Christ. Okay, we can easily go to the lost world, and I can tell you about the lost world that has never heard about Christ, which we know is growing by leaps and bounds those who have never even heard the message of the redemption of Christ. Some of you that go to high school, there are kids that you go to school with that have never heard what I'm talking about. Here's the thing that's even more tragic, is some have sat in churches their whole life and have never heard the message of freedom. What they've heard, in some respects, is a continued message of a law that brings bondage, of religion. And it's, many cases, it's unattainable. Now, it's a terrible thing to be free in the declaration of the slaves and not be able to enjoy the freedom and not be able to throw off the chains, the fetters that have held them captive for so long. I want you to think of the opposite of that. But slavery is real. And many find themselves in the church, I think many find ourselves trapped because of our past. So What I want to talk about is free to become what Christ has created you for. This is the message I've always had in my heart to push you towards that end. I want you to believe that God has something greater that even happens after the point of salvation. Yes, salvation has to happen. Yes, you want to long for heaven. Yes, you want to be free, and yes, you want to know that the Holy Spirit has set your life free and that you're no longer under the dominion of Satan. Yes. Yes, you want to know that if Christ comes today, that you are going to be caught up together with him. Or if, God forbid, that you draw your last breath and they start putting you in the box, that all is well between you and your Creator. Yes, you want that. But I'm saying to the one who truly believes, you understand that salvation is a beginning point. It's a journey. It's a race that you're going to run. But it's a joyful place that he is going to bring you in restoration of what he has intended for you to be. Amen. So, free to become. I now have the freedom through Christ to become exactly what I have been created for. In Galatians 5, verse 1, look at what it says. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That almost sounds like redundancy if you read it wrong. It is for freedom's sake that you have been set free. Let me go back to the slave illustration. Okay? Because freedom, in some respects, which is not freedom at all, somebody can be set free from the bondage of the plantation and be led back into another form of slavery. Okay? And many of them were. They had the rights to leave, the legal right to leave the plantation, but many of them went right back into another form of slavery. I'm suggesting that that's what happens in the church. I'm saying to you, what happens often is we come to the altar of salvation, we feel that overwhelming sense of the burden of our own sin and the offer of the Lord to lift that burden off our lives, and once that salvation happens, we walk from that place of declaration of freedom right into another form of bondage and slavery. But this is telling us it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is for the sake to live it out in every aspect of your life. Be free. Be free indeed. That's what you have to do. And start living your life with that. You see, there is an accuser of the brethren. We know who that is. There is an accuser who does not want you to be free. The enemy of our soul wants you to continually walk in a state of despair, heaviness, bondage. He wants you to feel accused all the time, and that is just not the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord wants you to walk in freedom. The reason that Paul was so worked up is because he knew always that somebody is wanting to chain you back. Somebody was trying to chain these people back up. After they had experienced the amazing grace of the cross and been delivered, you got to understand, some of these people were Gentiles. They didn't experience the law. And they were able to move quickly into that sense of God's grace because they didn't have the burden or the bondage of the law. The law was not some evil thing. The law was something that was given by God in order. It was a schoolmaster, the law was. What does that mean? It simply means this. The law that you read in the Old Testament was placed there to show God's people how far away from God that they were. So the law was showing them, if God is here, and every time he put the law on them, they would watch how it would take them farther. The law would show them how much farther and farther they were moving away from his glory and his grace. That's what was happening. And then it would move the Jews. It would move them to this place of self-righteousness where they would practice the law and try and get back. It was their own energy. It was their own effort. They were trying to get back to a place of righteousness. And many of them, like the Pharisees, would make it to this place, you know. And then they would look back at others and say, you bunch of wretches. But there was still a chasm between them and God. See, the work of the cross was that bridge that no man, no woman, no child could walk across. Yeah, we might try and show our own righteousness, but to me, it's like having a 40-mile chasm, and you might have somebody who can jump 21 feet and somebody who can jump 7. Tell me, what is the difference? They're both going down, right? For it's appointed unto man once to die. If you jump without Christ, you are going to die. So, I'm going to talk to you about freedom. For just a few minutes, I want you to understand, young people, listen to me, what freedom is. Is freedom doing what you want? We can say that, but it's not what we long for. We long for a freedom that lets us do what we want. My point is, that is not freedom. Freedom to do what we want is not freedom. It's a license. That's only a license to do something. That's all it is. But I'm going to suggest to you that it is not freedom at all. And let me explain to you with a simple illustration. A fish says, are you with me? A fish says, I want to be free. Get me out of this lake. I want to roam in the jungle like the lion. Right? The fish says, I want to fly in the air like the eagle. How long will he be sustained? He will die. So is his act of will in his own choice of freedom right for him? It's not freedom at all, is it? If the fish comes out of the water in which he was created to function in, he will not survive. It's not good for him. So for the fish to just have the freedom of choice is not going to help, because it's not freedom at all. It's only a license. That's all it is. It's a license to choose life or death. That's what it is. So true freedom, in my opinion, is the freedom to become what God has created me to be. And he's got a very specific journey in which that looks. Okay, let's just take something simple like football or tennis or basketball or volleyball. Let's take an illustration like that. And I'm saying take any of those games and remove the boundaries. Let's take volleyball as an example. Let's play volleyball with absolutely no sidelines. Imagine the game. You know what Ben would do. He would just, boom, yeah, wouldn't he? No boundaries, no guidelines, doesn't matter how hard or how far you hit the ball, it's in. What kind of sense does that make? If you remove the boundaries, everything changes, doesn't it? The game has just been destroyed in many respects. But see, why is it that in humanity we think that freedom is the removal of boundaries or removal of guidelines? That's what the sinful nature wants. The sinful nature in a child means I don't want boundaries. The freedom in a child's life is when they have godly boundaries. I don't know how many kids in this place agree with that right now. But I trust me, you will when you have your own kids. All of a sudden, you will become a believer. Boundaries make the game work. Boundaries make my life work. I've often used this illustration, and I talk about it all the time. Some people look at the Ten Commandments as 10 restrictions. I totally do not. And oh, by the way, I said this Wednesday night, do you realize that most of the commandments in the Bible are given to the individual, not to the multitudes? There have been commandments that have been given to each one of us from God Himself. Specifically going back, there's many, but going back to the original 10. See, I look at the Ten Commandments as commandments of freedom, not commandments of bondage. There is such a difference in the way that we look at that which God has offered to His people. They are outside boundaries of the life that we live, that if we live within those boundaries, we will find the freedom that we really are longing for. You can go through any of them. You look at, thou shalt have no other God before me. Some will say, that's restrictive. I say, it's freedom. It's directing us to the one true God. When we live with no other idols within our lives, there's a freedom and a power that exists in our lives. So we would say, no, the freedom is choice. So my freedom then would be the freedom to choose any God I want. No, you're choosing bondage. I'm not trying to twist your minds around. I'm trying to get our hearts back to what is real and what has been offered to us, as it has to do with this subject. See, a man without morals, a man without boundaries, a man that says, I want the freedom to choose whatever I want, wants to have the freedom to pursue any and every woman that he wants. Okay? The freedom to choose. That's what culture is teaching us. But see, I'm telling you, his deception in freedom is in fact an admission of bondage of his own passion and desire. He thinks he's choosing freedom, but in fact he moves himself to a place of bondage. The freedom is found where God instructs the man that strength and freedom will be found in a relationship with a woman. One. And as his heart becomes yielded to her and he learns to love her as Christ loved the church, that, my friend, is freedom. It still is choice. It's choosing a life of freedom. Do you get what I'm talking about here? This is really good stuff. This is the kind of stuff that sets you free, if you want to be free. But the man who plays outside of those bounds, the man who plays outside of those guidelines, in fact, his freedom means he takes shackles and puts them on his hands, his heart, his life. And I'm saying, I'll give you the privilege of going through all the commandments and applying the same principle. It works. It works. Galatians 5:5. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit of the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. First of all, I'm saying how much I can enjoy now the freedom that Christ has offered me through the guidelines and the boundaries that he has offered as well. Enjoying that freedom. And I'm saying to you, stop living like a lifer in prison. Stop living like you have been given a sentence that has hung over your life because of your past. This is such an enemy of the church, our history. Now, I'll say this 1,000 times. Your past might be a reason that you have tendencies towards a certain bent. Okay? Your past might be a reason, but listen to me when I tell you it is not an excuse to keep living that way. It's not an excuse. If you keep using your past as an excuse, you will continue to live in a state of bondage. And God will let you know, the Holy Spirit will let you know exactly where each one of us are living in that particular state. Freedom from this flesh. Freedom from this flesh. I read a story. Do you remember all the uprising that happened with Haiti? Many years back, what happened was an army general, in fact, came in and took over the presidency for a period of time. And then what happened is he, at some point, because of pressure, he offered back the presidency back to the original president. But guess what? Once the activity started to go back towards that, the resistance was huge, and he refused to give it back, okay? I give that as an illustration of what the flesh is going to do to you. The flesh is that very nature within us that takes over a dominion and keeps us from the cross. It keeps us from Christ. Then Jesus Christ comes back to take his rightful place of lordship on our heart in the throne of our own spirit. He wants that place. He's made available that place. And now we have to decide whether we're going to throw the old bum out. Amen. The old bum is your nature to stand in opposition to the Lord. And I'm saying, stop doing that because you're not going to learn to live in the freedom that's been given to us. A freedom that sets us free from the bondage of this flesh. Flesh doesn't want to leave town. I'm talking about the sinful nature. The sinful nature does not want to leave town. It wants to continue to have a sense of dominion over you. It wants to keep you in bondage. Let me just throw another one in there. I'll do these last ones just kind of real quick because there's some of you that are in bondage to the expectations of others. It's got you bound up. Now, there's a difference. There's a difference between loving people and living under a bondage of their expectation. You can be set free from the one and still live the other. Romans 14. Romans 14, a simple verse, is verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's where the freedom is found. That's where it's found. Who do you try and impress? Who are you trying to please? Who is it that you're trying to appease because of their perception of what you're doing? What you will find throughout the chapter of Romans chapter 14 is you will find a transition that happens where God is saying to us, you please me first. You please me first. Make sure that it is all right between you and the Lord. As you determine any action in your life, simply do this. Pause and say, is it okay with you, Lord? As you get that confirmation, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. But here, listen to me when I tell you what the Holy Spirit does in your life, it might bring direct conflict in the lives of those around you. When Sue and I first came to Christ and we gave ourselves to the Lord, just that simple act of serving the Lord put us in conflict with other people within our lives, family members who now stood in opposition to what we couldn't make the decision to conform to what they thought. We had to be obedient to what the Lord was leading. Let me tell you know, my heart's desire is to love this body and love the people in this church. But let me tell you, I cannot be swayed by opinion. I've got to be led by what the Spirit is telling us to do. Because there are this many opinions as to how we should do things in this church. If I found myself laying awake at night worried about what you guys thought we should do, it would kill me. I would have a whole lot more gray than I have now. I would have ulcers, and I probably would have left the ministry by now. And I want you to understand that I'm not suggesting to you that I don't care. It's not it at all. I do care. But I cannot be led by opinion or observation or perception. I have to be led by the Lord. And I'm saying there's some of you that live your Christian bondage because you are trapped in the opinion of others. And some of you, it simply is family members. People in your own household sometimes. Sometimes it's brothers and sisters and moms and dads. Sometimes it's bosses. You're in bondage because you are so consumed with the perception of others that you're not willing to live the freedom that Christ has offered to you. That's what I'm talking about. So I asked, who do you try and impress? Many of you just continually relive past failures and mistakes. Your past is such a bondage to you. And I'm saying in this service, in this moment, be set free from that. Let the Lord do that work. There's some of you that are simply in bondage to worry. Worry. Would you be honest with me if I asked you how many of you are in bondage to worry? Lift your hands up if you have that tendency. Worry is a spirit of anxiety that at its core, its foundation is unbelief. Read Matthew chapter 6 and you'll find that. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord directly deals with the issue of worry, anxiety. And he uses the birds of the air and the lilies of the field as illustrations as to why that is such a foolish spirit. It's a foolish spirit because it immediately moves us away from what God is capable of doing in our lives, no matter what our circumstances are, to our own will, our own choices, our own ideas. We become the God of our own lives in that moment. When worry overtakes our hearts and anxiety overtakes, God lines that up with the spirit of unbelief. And he's saying to his people, he's saying, if I will take care of the birds of the air and take care of the lilies of the field, how much more am I going to take care of you, O you of little faith, is what it says. So I'm saying, if you are a worrier, you need to deal with that issue before you leave this sanctuary.